With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Dak Prescott had an up and down game against the Eagles yesterday. You guys want the bad or the good first? What do you want?
Bad.
Bad? All right, that's what's in my teleprompter, so that's what we're going to go with. He had two interceptions and a fumble. Now the great. Dak finished with a career-high 455 passing yards and three touchdowns, all to Amari Cooper, of course, including the game winner. So, Shannon.
Yes.
Professor, how would you grade Dak's performance?
I'm giving him a C, Skip Bayless. I'm giving him a C for the simple fact, as Holly read, he had two INTs and he had a fumble. So, he started the game off, so he's way, way behind. Skip, he got to do extra credit. He got to do that. He got to turn on the extra assignment just to get a passing grade. Because if he doesn't do this extra assignment and he doesn't do this extra credit work, he going to fail. He was spectacular in the fourth quarter in overtime, Skip. I mean, 17 of 20. He almost had as many yards in 25 minutes than he had in the first 45 minutes. He was, I think everything that he was in the third and in the fourth quarter in overtime is what you like about him. The resilience, the warrior mentality that, yeah, I've stunk it up for the last three quarters, but it doesn't matter because I'm here with an opportunity to do all, to do away with all the wrong, to all this stench that I've stunk up Cowboy Stadium with for the last 45 minutes. I can wash all that away with this deodorant I'm about to put on these Eagles. So I gave him a passing grade when it was all said and done. 17 of 20, 243, three touchdowns. He went from 6.2 yards per attempt to 12.2 yards per attempt. Skip, he had 455 yards, but if you look at that game, he could have easily broken Norm Van Brocklin's record of 554 if he hit one or two of those deep throws. So I did give him a passing grade because he was starting in such a deficit with the way he stunk it up the first three quarters. There's no way I thought he could ever even get to a passing grade. But I'm going to give him a C because what he was able to do in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Usually, Holly, I give his grades on Dak an F. I give his grade an F because he often gives Dak an F. But after I tossed and turned on this one, and as I look back at one of my tweets late in the game in which I tweeted, I cannot and will not defend this from my quarterback because I can't and I won't. I'm barely above you this time.
What?
I'm C plus. And the only reason I put the plus on my C is because the fourth quarter and the overtime numbers aren't just good, they're all-time great.
Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah.
All-time great. Yeah. It's hard to beat 17 of 20 for 243 in the fourth quarter and overtime. That is Brady-esque. That's what Tom Brady, remember, Tom Brady threw for 246 in the Super Bowl comeback against Atlanta. That was in fourth quarter and overtime.
Correct.
246. Dak, 243 with two touchdowns and no interceptions.
Three touchdowns.
That's right. Three touchdowns. I shorted him one because he got one in overtime.
Right.
That's right. Three touchdowns and no interceptions. Yet, I cannot defend the first interception, even though it was a really good play by Rasul Douglas.
Right.
But you just can't, you got to see it and anticipate it or throw it. If he'd thrown it 2-3 yards farther, maybe it connects with Amari in the end zone, maybe. And then the second interception is just a disaster. It just made me just want to puke, seriously. Because Michael Gallup is wide open, and he missed him by 10 yards high. I don't know what got into him. I have no idea. The sack fumble is unconscionable. It's what you said all week. You just can't do that, and you certainly can't do it in that moment. He missed Measley Beasley with a little 5-yard flip that cost them 4 points because they had to take a field goal. And then I don't know how many times he missed Michael Gallup, although Gallup seems to lose the ball in the lights there or the sun or whatever he's losing the ball in because he didn't see half of them. But he's open repeatedly. And right. then Amari is wide open with 58 seconds left. You have to cash that.
Right.
That's just, you cash it in. We're not having this conversation. In fact, I'm standing on the table like applauding.
Right.
Because it would look like Super Bowl, here we come. But he missed that throw and he missed it badly right. long. So the truth is, the Dallas Cowboys should have won this game five different times and put it away easily.
Yes.
And instead, Dak Prescott dug the hole deeper and deeper and deeper.
Right.
And then I tweeted another tweet. I said, Dak, you have been challenged. Are you a man or are you a mouse? Because you've been playing like a mouse. Are you that warrior that we saw at Washington, mm-hmm. we've seen repeatedly in fourth quarters? And guess what? He was.
Right.
He dug them out of the hole.
Right.
Now, I'm going to give Amari more credit on the 75-yarder because he's going against that kid, Devontae Basby. I don't even know who he is.
I don't know who he is.
He's just some guy that they picked up off the street. I don't know. Maybe he was in the stands before the game.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Yeah. But he's out there, and then he's got a hamstring issue or something. I don't know. I think he lost his confidence. And then they put him back in the game, and the throw to Amari on the 75-yarder, that's just Amari finding the ball and Basby not being able to locate, right? Because it's not a great throw. It's just up for grabs.
Well, I'm glad you didn't give Dak all this credit for digging them out the hole, considering he dug the hole that they were in to begin with.
He dug it. Only him.
Yeah.
The defense was not stellar in the fourth quarter. But after a while, you know what? Look, the Philadelphia Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champs. And you know what? Their defensive front, it was valiant yesterday. Right. Michael Bennett, we've had him on the show a couple times.
Yeah, he bowled. He bowled up.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yeah, he did.
All of them did. They battled. Think how long they were on the field.
But it's really hard and it gets really frustrating is that you're almost there. And then you look up and you see Amari Cooper running for 75 yards. You look up and you see him on 28-yard touchdown because your secondary is so inadequate. And that's what happened, Skip. They've had guys go down, and now you have third, fourth, fifth guys that you really want to only see on the field on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're counting on them to play heavy defensive minutes.
Yep.
And it didn't take Dak Prescott long to find those guys. It seems like when you skip, you know, when you put an outfield in there for a replacement, seems like the baseball always finds it. It seems like, I was wondering where you went. They move you to the other side. Here you go, Amari. Take this one to the house. Oh, they got your backup in because they ended up benching 22. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. They ended up benching him because they're like, bro, you're not even trying out there.
I thought they benched 41, too, and then he got back in the game. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
But Skip, you only
they're down to third and fourth string guys.
You only go into the game with so many DBs, so somebody's got to play, even though they're playing like trash. Somebody has to be out there. And Amari says, I don't care. Skip, when you're feeling it like Amari had it going yesterday, it didn't matter. You better have a Deion Sanders because he has that confidence. And like you said, the ball is not going to hit the ground when it comes in. If it gets tipped up, he's going to find it. And if he's open by a step, he's going to come down with the throw. Mm. He's got it going that good. He's playing as good as any receiver is in football right now. And he's showing you why the Raiders selected him with the fourth overall pick. But this right here, I mean, I wish I could give Dak an A, but considering how bad he played in the first three quarters, Skip, because really, it should not even come down to fourth quarter in overtime. Had he played halfway decent, if he had played C football, Skip, in the first three quarters, we're not even having this discussion. He's an A, and it's not even close.
But when the money was on the table in the overtime, he drives them 13 plays, 75 yards, and eats 8 minutes and 5 seconds off the clock. And I thought they had a chance to run the whole overtime out and get down to the goal line.
Right.
It looked like that's where they were heading. Right. And instead, did he get a little bit of a lucky tip up in the air to Amari at the end? Yep. Did they get lucky that they, on the opening kickoff, that the fumble wasn't given to the Eagles?
Right.
Yeah, they got lucky all game long. Right. They got all kinds of luck going on. But in the end, that last drive, that was special. So I increased Dak's grade to C++.
No.
He gets two plus.
No.
I think it's a B-, but I don't know. Okay.
C++ equals B-.
See,
I better not do that.
Just go ahead and give him a C.
I better stay with
him. Just go ahead and give him a C. This is why you couldn't be an instructor. No. So you easily swayed.
Mm, I went to Vanderbilt.
I don't care. I went to Savannah State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you majored in what?
Eligibility.
Eligibility.
Yeah. Yeah. What, Skip?
Well, grading on the curve. You never got graded this hard.
Yes, I did.
Or you would have flunked out of Savannah
School. No, they was like Mr. Sharp. They was like, why don't all you like Mr. Sharp? I was studious.
Studious?
Oh, yeah, look at those glasses.
No,
of course he is.
Professor was whispering, he's really good at football.
No.
Yep. He's an amazing athlete.
Well, I did have a professor did tell me, you know, tell the class that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he can play football.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to give him a passing grade.
No, he didn't. He told me
that.
Dr. Welch was one of my one of my law professors. Mm. And he said, he called me out in the hallway. He said, Mr. Sharp, he's like, son, I've watched you play. He said, son, you're going to the NFL. Just come to class and do a little work.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you know, you got that kind of confidence. I wanted to show him that I could do the work.
Yeah.
I got an A.
You got an A?
Got an A!
And you probably never went to
and
another
he went
I went, No, I went to class. Because I liked
him. Showed up on exam
the professors that I liked.
It's all right. Work in the system. All right.
No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way, but first, I wanted to talk to you about one of our sponsors. If you're like me, you know that navigating the stock market can be daunting. Fortunately, there's Robinhood. Robinhood is an app that makes buying and selling stocks, options, cryptos, and more simple and intuitive. With data presented in an easy-to-digest way, Robinhood is a non-intimidating method for stock market newcomers to invest with confidence. And here's the best part. Not only is Robinhood easy to use, it's all commission-free. That's right, no commission fees. Other brokerages can charge you up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood allows you to trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Even better, Robinhood is giving Undisputed listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Just sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. That's undisputed.robinhood.com to start investing today. Now, back to the show.
No mercy.
Happy Monday. Welcome back to Undisputed. Glad to have you with us this morning. Amari Cooper led the Cowboys to an overtime win over the Eagles yesterday, and we're now joined for some insight by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Greg, what up? Number one, how's your golf game? And two, how much has Cooper meant to the Cowboys?
Golf game is not present right now.
Well, it's snowed in, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Amari Cooper, he means everything to this Dallas Cowboy organization and team. When you listen to what Jason Garrett has said about Amari Cooper, he brings confidence, swagger, just everything that they were lacking offensively at the skill position. And why does a wide receiver mean so much? Because when you have a running back like Ezekiel Elliott, who now is going to see less guys in the box for four quarters, because you have that threat, that number one elite threat at receiver, you're going to open up everything. You see a Dak Prescott with more confidence, even though we know he's throwing the ball to Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. Now you have to stop it. There was a point in this game when Amari Cooper said after in this post conference, he said, I broke the huddle and the play was a stop route. I had a stop route.
Yeah.
And I'm looking like, come on, are you kidding me?
About it.
And this is where the change has been made. This is why he's become invaluable, because now he can look at a quarterback who we understand and know that's the alpha male on that team. May not be the best player on the team, but he's
the
alpha male.
He is.
And he looks at him and he changes. You know what? Let's go. Dak Prescott would not have done that with anyone else.
Nope.
Not Dez Bryant.
No,
no one else. But because he understands what I have in the Amari Cooper and what his potential is of playmaking ability, I have to give him a chance.
Yep.
I must give him a chance. And when you look at elite wide receivers, what do? They make everyone around them better.
Yep.
We see a young Michael Gallup starting to shine a little bit more and emerge, being overthrown a little bit. And I think a lot of that, everyone's going to say that's Dak. It's a little bit of Michael Gallup, too, learning how to run when he's open with his eyes looking back to the ball. But he is creating opportunity for everyone. And most importantly, what I've noticed, we haven't talked about play calling. We haven't talked about that offense at all in a negative light. All because you got one guy on the perimeter who can create separation, get off the ball, get off the line of scrimmage, and beat any defender that you put over him if you fail to put two guys on him like the Philadelphia Eagles did. So Amari Cooper means everything to this Dallas team.
I agree with everything you just said. And what he does is that he forces receivers, other receivers, to step their game up. Now they can't hide. That cloak is unveiled. Because you know Amari Cooper, if he gets single coverage, they're throwing the ball to him. He gets double covered. Now all of a sudden, guys, you're getting one-on-one and you're going against second and third options. Mm-hmm. So you must win. The difference between him and every other receiver that was on this roster, Skip, he can throw it to Michael Gallup and he catch it, get you 15 yards. He can throw it to Cole Beasley. He get you a first down of 7 to 8 yards. Amari Cooper, you throw it to him, he's a threat every time to hit his head on the goalpost.
He is.
That's the difference between number ones and everybody else, all the mm-hmm. other receivers in the mm-hmm. NFL.
Yeah.
You put the ball in their hands, they can get home. Mm-hmm. They can strike pay dirt from anywhere on the field. Mm-hmm. He's playing with such supreme confidence. Mm-hmm. I said this, Greg. I don't think Amari Cooper all of a sudden, he got better when he went to Dallas.
No. Yeah.
He's happier. He has coaches that know how to talk to him. He wants to prove to Oakland Raiders.
Yep.
Oh, y'all thought I was done. Oh, I'm inconsistent. How you like this consistency?
And he's being featured. He's their feature guy. Oakland wanted to feature Jared Cook.
Yep.
Yeah.
True.
So he's like, okay, I'm going to show you what I – and you said this, you know, we kind of stopped right, like, stop. Man, you better give me something to go down the field. No other receiver. Even Dez, when Dez was a top dog and he was making all the money – he can say, you better give me another route. Hey, that's what they call. I'm running this. Mm-hmm. They call the stop right. He's like, hey, what you want, Amari? When the guy running hot, feed him. Mm. Hey, Skip, you know how you do it when the fire going good? You keep throwing logs on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know. I grew up with a fire plate. Mm. You know, we have no sense. We throw logs. That thing burning all night, Skip. Mm. This dude running hot. Mm. Keep feeding him.
Mm. AC, you got to turn on the AC.
Yeah, man.
It's hot cool. Her, right? It is.
Nelly? Cool.
I just gave a little shout out to my man Nelly.
No doubt.
He texted me.
It get hot here?
So, I'm going to go a step farther than either of you two went. This young man, and he is still a young man at age 24, which is stunning to me.
It's unbelievable.
I know. He has become even more valuable than 21 has, and I'm talking about Ezekiel Elliott. And I know you say they go as 21 goes, right. And you have been right about that to a point. All of a sudden, they're going as 19 goes. 19's opening up everything for 21 a lot. He's making 4 look a lot better than 4 often looks. And the thing that just astounds me about 19, about Amari Cooper, is he's the unwide receiver, and I'm glad you're here to comment on this because I thought you were too. You were a fine young man when you first emerged in Green Bay, and you didn't have a lot of stuff to your game. You didn't have a lot of bells and whistles. You were not a diva wide receiver to me, and this kid, mm-hmm. he's still a kid, there's no diva in him at all. He has no touchdown celebration routine. He doesn't have a first down routine. He doesn't do any of this. He doesn't do any of that. Like Michael Irvin, we got the great Michael Irvin coming on here a little bit later. Michael would catch a first down, you know, and he's just throwing the hand up. Amari Cooper he's reserved. He's quiet. He's introspective. He's introverted. He's the unwide receiver. I've never seen anything quite like him except for you. And you were more outgoing than he is mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. And you were more of a team spokesman. Amari speaks when spoken to. And once he has a big game, he will speak to the media. And he'll be very good but not great with the media because he's not colorful or entertaining or particularly sensationally spoken, but he'll tell you what he thinks.
Right.
And he doesn't lack for confidence, but you watch after he makes a big play, he just goes and sits by himself on the bench. He just goes and sits by himself.
Skip,
right. Well, what are you doing? You're supposed to be a diva, right? You deserve to be a diva. Am
Skip,
I right?
Yes. Yes. Skip, I think the thing that Gruden made the mistake of, a lot of times when we see people that are quiet, we think they're soft.
Yeah, well, he did.
And he thought
he wasn't his.
Right.
He didn't run with his RPM.
Nope. Yeah. This is who he is.
And you know what? His speed is subtle speed. It's effortless speed.
Yeah.
But it's big time speed.
Oh, he transitions really well. Woo. I mean, he get in and out of break, and he's running again.
Yeah.
But like sharp. Like his routes. And the, to your point really quick, the reason why he is more valuable than Ezekiel Elliott, because when Ezekiel had success, they still could lose. When you add an Amari Cooper and his success, it doesn't just make them offensively better. Defensively, it makes them better because now they're going to sustain drives and hold on to the ball even more. And then that defense, They're playing 25 or less minutes every game. Yep. They're fresh. They're getting off the field. They're making plays. Keep going.
Okay. But he's the un-Dez. Dez took no pride in running precise routes. Mm-mm. He took pride in snatching jump balls out of midair.
Right.
This young man is so precision-oriented. He takes great pride in stopping and starting on dimes. He's exactly where he's supposed to be.
His transition is good as they have in the NFL right now.
It is. It's hard. And it's hard to defend, man.
Greg, I was telling him, what you need to be a great route runner is patience. You must believe that, you know, I know he's inside, but guess what?
I'm going to get in there.
I'm going to get there. And you can't rush it because a lot of times a guy lines up inside and you end up angling and then you're all the way across the floor and the quarterback can't give you the ball. And he said it. But the one thing that I like about what he did, Skip, a lot of time on a slant route, we see guys when the guy lines up inside and he jets inside, you stop. He said, I got to cross his face. Now, that did put the ball behind him a little bit and it popped up and he made the catch. But you got to start. You can never stop on a slant route because we've seen that a lot of times the quarterback throws, the receiver pulls up, and the quarterback hits the DB in the chest, and everybody blames the quarterback. Mm-hmm. No. This kid is smooth. He can get in and out of breaks. He reminds you a lot of the Jimmy Smith and the Keenan McCardells, and I know people don't know those guys.
No, but you studied those guys.
Yes. I took those guys off Henry Ellard, my brother.
Yes.
They were
route runners. Perfected route runners who trust that I'm going to make it work.
Yep.
Period. And when you trust, when you stand at that line of scrimmage and you see that there is an inside leverage and you know your route is taking you
in there.
But you have the supreme confidence and trust in your own ability. At this point, you got to be prideful. You got to say, whatever I do, I know I can beat this guy. I just have to sell it and trust that my skill set is more supreme than that leverage.
It's definitely going to be.
100%. Because if you run that route and you talk about patience, Amari Cooper has elevated number four more than what we will see any receiver elevate.
Agreed.
Number four because of his patience in route running and his ability to separate once he's at the top of that route.
And number four enjoys playing with 19.
Yes. Yeah.
They enjoy vibing off each other, and he did not enjoy playing off 88.
You see, Skip, a lot of these top-level quarterbacks, they don't need a number one.
Yep.
But when you're building a young quarterback's confidence, he needs a number one. He needs a guy he can trust. I can get him the ball. Oh, he's going to go hit his head on the goal.
And another real quick point. When he makes a play or he doesn't make a play, or Dak makes a play or he doesn't make a play, neither one of them are going to show each other up. It's like, you know what? We didn't make it happen. You didn't make the throw. I didn't make the catch. Let's try to do it again. I'm not going to give you any crazy eye contact.
Right.
I'm not going to get any antics on the sideline. We're just going to make it work. You need that.
But watch that. Watch Dak when it's someone else. He'll do this.
He does. He's doing it to the kid Gallup. He's saying, you got to find the ball.
He understands ball. That number 19, you can't do that with him. Mm-hmm. So he knows. So that. You picked that up early.
Yep.
Greg, thanks for joining us. And Skip, you say he's not a diva. Have you seen him in wardrobe? Not a diva. Look at this floral pocket square he's got working. I'm fighting him in makeup.
He doesn't flaunt it, though.
No diva.
You got to flaunt it. That's right. That's right. Greg, always appreciate you coming in.
No mercy.
The Dolphins had the play of the year to beat the Patriots yesterday, down by 5 in the final seconds. Kenyon Drake got the ball after two laterals and made a break for the end zone, sped past Rob Gronkowski, who was on defense, and the Dolphins completed what is being dubbed the Miami Miracle. Pretty special stuff. We're once again joined by NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin and Skip Bayless's favorite person in the world. I'm pretty sure. Yep. It's safe to say.
He's up there.
He's up there. Michael, who's most to blame for the Patriots' loss yesterday?
Listen, and let's be real here. We love that, too, that put that blame on. You blame, you're to blame, you're to blame. We just talked about this when you're talking about division games. And in football, what makes it so great is, we're dealing with physical gifts, shoulders down. That's physical talent. Understanding gifts and understanding of the game, shoulders up. But there's something that goes on inside of a player. And for some reason, somehow, the Dolphins feel like no matter what.
That's true.
We can win this game.
Yep.
We can't beat them in New England. We can never make it to a playoffs and do anything great. But this game, late in the season, when they come to Miami, we can beat them. And that connectivity is what gets them through games like yesterday. That connectivity. I don't think you put the blame on anybody and say, oh, you're the cause we lost this game. If I got to place it on somebody, I'll say that's that connectivity that Miami has, and they feel that they can win against New England late in the season in Miami anytime.
Well, the way me and Skip Bayless do it on Undisputed, we assign blame.
Yeah, that's what
you want. You do that creativity somewhere else, but here we're going to assign the blame. And Coach Belichick outsmarted himself on this situation.
By putting Gronk back there.
Exactly. He was expecting a Hail Mary, but Ryan Tannehill had missed a month because of a shoulder. He had gone out in spurts of this game because of an ankle injury.
Right.
What's the likelihood with an injured shoulder, an injured ankle, he's going to be able to launch the ball 80 yards from where he's going to throw it for and land it in the end zone? So once he saw the way they lined up, I'm calling timeout. I'm taking Gronk out. I'm putting Devin McCourty in because you want somebody that's qualified to tackle because it's going to be a tackling drill now, not a tip drill.
And you want somebody who can run.
Yeah, and Gronk.
Are y'all trying to say stop. You really think that Coach Belichick thought that play would get back to the final safety in the game? No way he thought that was going to happen. No,
he thought it was going to happen. So that's why he put Gronk. Let me ask you a question. Does he ever take Devin McCourty out?
No, in a regular situation, put Gronk back. Jump ball.
Exactly. Jump ball. Oh, so what's the likelihood he's going to get back a jump ball?
But a jump ball is one thing. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, he had a banged up shoulder. But why should Belichick listen to anybody telling him how hurt somebody else is when he's not ever telling you how hurt his guys are?
Yeah, but that's the point. But you know that going in. You know Tannehill has an injured shoulder. That's why he missed the month. You see him come out of the game and get both of his ankles taped. I mean, how many quarterbacks you know come out of the game and get both ankles taped? How many quarterbacks you know that wear spat job?
Yeah, but listen, it's one of those. There's a reason you put miracle on it. You called it a Miami miracle. You didn't call it a Miami play. It's not something that comes down every day. This is a divine intervention, and that's basically what it is. Now you're telling us that who's to blame for the miracle? God Himself. That's why you call it a miracle. Come on. New England played that game. They should have won that game. Outside of that one play that ended in the game. I can't put blame.
Well, how about I blame Tom Brady?
Go ahead, because they were there within striking distance?
No, because he took a sack before the end of the half. Because of his last six possessions, he had the ball, he scored 6 points. You want to talk about that? Is that divine intervention?
I would like to talk about that. Thank you very much. Tom Brady had his best game of the year yesterday. He threw for 358 and three touchdowns with no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is blasphemy, but I continue to say, what has happened to Bill Belichick's defense? I'll give you Gronk or no Gronk. And again, the jump ball is going to occur at the 30-yard line.
Exactly.
So I don't get it. Devin McCourty had played every defensive snap of the game until the last snap of the game. So I don't get that. But I want to know why Tom Brady's offense controlled the football game and ran 75 plays to Miami's 45 plays. And on those 45, Miami averaged gaining 9.2 yards every time they snapped the ball. 9.2? That's like Kyler Murray at OU numbers. Seriously.
That's incredible.
Okay? Well, that's just wrong. And so Tom Brady all day long kept trying to overcome the defense, and he screwed it up because he is human, and he tried to do too much because he had missed Chris Hogan on the back line on the previous play with a blitzer in his face.
Yeah.
Okay? He missed it. He ducked for cover. He's not going to take the kill
Why
shot.
Not?
He's not going to take it.
He got liability.
He's 41. He's 41. He protects himself, and he made a business decision.
Plays smart football.
That's what Michael Irvin. What separates the great from the others is that they'll stare down that barrel and they'll make that throw. Troy, how many bang eights Troy make to you?
You saying there's separation from greats and Tom? Tom is the great.
I'm saying that's what makes the greats great is that they'll stare down there and they'll make that throw. They'll take that chop in the mouth, and know it.
In the ice water that runs through in tough moments. In crucial moments.
Okay, that was a crucial moment.
And Tom Brady has done that, and he continues to
I'm not talking about, but you keep telling me. I'm not talking about what he's done. I'm talking about what he didn't do.
Shannon, it looked like it was going to be a blowout at this point.
It should have been.
Yeah, it should have been.
But the last four possessions, Tom Brady gave you 6 points.
Okay, but he put you in position with 7 seconds left in the game.
Time.
you are in position to win the game and to go to 10-3. And it looks like for a moment, you're going to be the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
Until Patrick Mahomes closed his eyes and threw his prayer in
hold
the
on.
Middle
why
of
why would they have to settle for a field goal?
Tyreek Hill
hold
came
on.
From nowhere and
hold
caught
on.
That pass.
Hold on, Mike. You and Skip, since y'all over here, y'all got pom-poms on today. So why is Tom Brady having to settle for a field goal?
I'm just saying.
No, I want you to just say, why does Tom Brady have to settle for a field goal? Just say that, and then you can make your
point. Wait, they're up 33-28 with 7 seconds left.
They should have been.
And Miami stuck at its 31-yard line.
They should have got 4 points.
It's over.
If you get 4 points, you don't have to worry about it. It's 37-28.
You understand.
Okay, the kicker left 4 points out there by missing a field goal and extra points.
Oh, don't do that, Skip.
Well, he did.
Well, how many did the quarterback lose by taking that sack and taking 1 point off the board?
Three. He cost him 3 points.
It amazes me at how we handle New England. We got the microscope. We're looking at everything. We're trying to find the first inkling of a slip. Mm-hmm. The first inkling of a slip.
Yep.
And every year they come back and show you. And imagine what San Francisco did and number of 10 win seasons every year. It's incredible the amount of discipline, the amount of greatness that you are getting to witness watching those.
Oh, yeah, you'll never see anything like that again.
You'll never see it again.
But we're not talking about what's going to happen or what a transpire. We're talking about this game.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But as we're talking through it, let's talk about where they are still.
So let me ask
they
you
are
question.
Still the number two seed, ready to do what they do.
Let me ask you a question. So what's different about New England than other great teams? Did they not get critiqued? Did teams not critique those 90 Cowboys? Did teams not critique those 80 49ers?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, are you talking about what's different in the annals of their greatness?
No. The only thing that's different now, there's more platforms. There's 24-hour news cycles.
Right.
And there's guys like Skip and I do what we do.
Right. And we are fully into the free agency era and all of the turnover that happens within a team. And Belichick is still creating this kind of greatness in the midst of that turnover.
Mm-hmm. Cole Belichick is great.
I give him.
He's the greatest of the great.
Okay, last quick question. New England now goes to Pittsburgh next Sunday.
I did.
What's left of the Steelers? Do you still trust them at all?
No. Man, listen. This is why I tell you. I had the Steelers. I had the Steelers in the Super Bowl. You know, and before all the Le'Veon Bell thing went down. And this game is different. You got to take all the talent you can take. A couple weeks ago, everybody said, oh, look like they won the Le'Veon Bell deal. Okay, doesn't look like it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, you won then, but the object is to win by the end of the year.
Yep.
And that is not the situation going on right now. I'm blown away. I believe that, honestly, we build quarterbacks so much. Ben Roethlisberger is the man in Pittsburgh, and that's a good thing. And that's a bad thing.
Yep.
They're both together. It's the greatest asset that Pittsburgh had and the greatest liability.
Yep. No mercy.
Got all they could handle yesterday from the Ravens. Kansas City was down by 7 late in the fourth when Pat Mahomes hit Tyreek Hill for 48 yards on fourth down. And 4 plays later, Mahomes threw his second touchdown pass of the game to tie it up. Then he led the Chiefs on a 10-play drive to set up the go-ahead field goal in overtime. And the Chiefs improved to 11-2. A lot to process, a lot to read there, Shannon, but how impressive was Pat Mahomes yesterday?
Skip, this was very, very impressive. And on the game-tying touchdown drive, he had to complete 2 fourth-down plays. And sometimes MVPs are about moments. And this was his moment. I believe he's taken a commanding lead in the MVP race, especially given against what he did it against. The Baltimore Ravens, statistically, was the number one scoring defense and the number one total yardage defense. So they, from top to bottom, they were number one. Mm. And he went and got 377 yards passing and hung 27 points on them. That's to be commended because we saw what happened when Drew Brees played Dallas. We saw what happened with Jared Goff last night when they played the Bears. These are very comparable defenses. All these are top 5 defenses. The Baltimore Ravens statistically is number one. And Pat Mahomes, Skip. He made throws yesterday. There's only one other quarterback in all the NFL that can make those throws that he made yesterday. Mm. He resides up in Green Bay. We're going to talk about him a little later. Because he was phenomenal, too.
Mm.
And given the circumstances, but here's the thing, Skip Bayless, you said this a little earlier. What Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs were up against. They lose this game, guess what? Tom Brady was 14 seconds away from being the number one seed in the AFC. Not only if they lose this game, guess what happens Thursday? The Chargers go to Kansas City. They win that game. Now, all of a sudden, the Chargers are in front of the division.
Yep.
So all that hard work, the heavy lifting that they had done thus far would have been for naught. Because the Chargers would have taken over the division, and now the New England Patriots are the number one seed in the AFC. But Patrick, my homeboy, says, no. I've done too much heavy lifting. I've come too far to see this thing go away. Skip, did you see these throws? Did you see these throws on fourth down? No, it's not
your turn. You want me to go? I'll go. Skip,
the man, he made one throw. He's looking like this here. He's looking straight ahead. And the DB said, oh, I'm about to get this pick. No, you're not. Hit. Ooh, Skip, he was dealing. Is he a magician? How did he do this? Skip, look at this throw right here. Oh, that's butter. That's that G butter. That's that good butter. Healthy. Oh, look at that throw, Skip. And this one right here, Skip. That's 40 yards. That's 40 yards. 40. Look at this. That's a 4th-and-3, Skip. Very impressive. Again, my guy is in the what, Skip? You like to say it? In the catbird seat for that MVP. Say it ain't so, Skip.
Whatever the catbird seat.
Say it ain't so.
You ever seen a catbird?
Yeah, I seen an old catbird.
Have you?
Yeah, me and my homes in the catbird seat.
You got
a
pet catbird, don't you? My turn. I don't know what happened, Holly. I got to get a new TV. I saw a whole different game yesterday.
Okay,
I had it on the wrong channel. I don't know.
Two at once.
Maybe I was watching two and they blurred together.
Yep.
I don't know.
Okay.
I saw, believe it or not, I saw a rookie named Lamar Jackson outplay Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, in the cold in Kansas City, and Lamar's from Miami.
You saw that?
Yeah, it was a Miami miracle in Kansas City. In Kansas City in the cold. Lamar Jackson had a 69 QBR, and Patrick Mahomes had a 63, 69 to 63. And would you believe that Lamar Jackson had the Baltimore Ravens, their offense, in position to win the game 24-17 with a minute and 29 seconds left?
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes, he was flinging it all over the lot. And sometimes Travis Kelce was making circus catches, making him look a lot better than he deserved to look.
No, don't do this.
But what I saw was Patrick Mahomes broke contain, scrambled to his right. It's 4th-and-9, the game, the season, everything's on the line. He's running, and Za'Darius Smith is virtually unblocked from the backside and is full speed ahead and chasing him down. And I think he's going to run him out of bounds or clock him at the sideline. And at the last second, Patrick Mahomes closes his eyes, and it was okay.
Stop thinking that was an Eli Manning play, because it wasn't.
He pulled off the luckiest throw since Eli Manning stuck a throw in David Tyree's face mask to beat Tom Brady in the first Eli Brady Super Bowl. I've never seen anything quite like it. He just heaves it up for grabs.
Ooh, no,
he throws it into the middle of the field. He has no idea where the football is going.
Oh, yes, he does.
And
he
there are three Ravens who are in catch range of the football. Like, they've all got shots. It's like 50-50. Three guys have a 50-50 shot, and one red guy has a 50-50 shot, and he's about 5'9" tall, and his name is Tyreek Hill, and he's probably the fastest man in football.
Yep.
And somehow Tyreek finds the ball before anybody else could find it and positions himself under it like it's a punt. He should have just fair caught it, but it comes right down in his breadbasket. And I again fall on the floor, because that's an impossible throw to pull off without some luck or some prayer. I don't know if it was divine intervention. I've never seen anything like it.
But think about it.
It changed everything, and it won the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm going to say it was 90% luck. I'm going to give it 90%.
No, Skip, here's the thing. What makes this so impressive is that he had to go get the game-tying touchdown against statistically the number one defense in football. Look at what Lamar Jackson was going in. When we think of Kansas City, you keep telling me that he's putting up all these numbers. Yeah, because his defense is bad. His defense is not the Baltimore Ravens. So this is what Patrick Mahomes had to go against. Can you imagine if Patrick Mahomes was going against the Kansas City defense?
Yep.
He probably would have thrown 6 touchdowns. So for him, now, over his last 2 games, Patrick Mahomes, 336 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Yep.
Drew Brees over his last 6 games, 164, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So we can see what has transpired. These teams, 2 guys played 2 very good defenses, 2 top 5 defenses. One guy crumbled, succumbed to the pressure. You have to understand also, Skip Bayless, although this is his second year, this is really his first year starting. So Patrick Mahomes is really a rookie, but he's been phenomenal.
So, Holly, all year long, as we discussed college football, this man kept telling me, Tua, it's over. He's going to win the Heisman. Just case closed. Stop it. I don't want to hear anything else. He's running away with the Heisman. And I kept saying, do not write off Kyler Murray. I said it again and again and again and again and again. And you know what the outcome was. Once again, I'm going to dig in on this one. Do not write off Drew Brees for MVP, because would you believe this? If you look at their overall QBR for the year, and it's just like Kyler Tua. I kept saying Kyler's got
who's
the higher
in the front?
QBR. Drew Brees is in front in QBR right now, 84.5 to 83.6 for Patrick Mahomes. So he's still about 9/10 of a point ahead in QBR. And the last time I checked, there are three games to go. It didn't end yesterday. Yeah. You know that. Mm-hmm. So, again, Drew Brees has got Carolina on a Monday night. That'll be a big stage. Yeah. I'm sure ESPN's going to give Drew a big build-up send-off, right?
Yep.
There'll be a big case made. He's never won an MVP. He's about to turn 40 years of age. And the narrative will rear its ugly head to you once again, because you're going to have to fight that narrative. And they've got Carolina. Then they got Pittsburgh at home. We don't know what's going to be left of the Steelers after Tom Brady gets finished with them next week in Pittsburgh. But they do have Pittsburgh, and then they finish with Carolina at home. Mm-hmm. So could he put up some numbers in those games? He sure could. But your kid's got – he's got a chance. He's got a big Thursday night game here on Fox against the Chargers. It'll be a shootout. Mm-hmm. He has a chance to put up big numbers. He also has a chance to throw big interceptions in that game, because the Chargers have the best cornerback in all of pro football named Casey Hayward from Vanderbilt University. Thank you very much. And this is going to be interesting. I don't think you can throw prayers up against this defense, or they will put them in their back pocket.
But we've seen him already. He started the season in Kansas City, threw for four touchdowns.
Yep,
he
did.
One of the handful of games that he's been on actually 300
but
yards
the
back.
Chargers were your pick to get to the Super Bowl, and they have found themselves and caught fire. Am I right about that?
Yep.
And then the kid still, Mahomes has to go to Seattle. That's a Sunday night game. It'll be cold. It'll be interesting. It'll be sky high Seattle.
This is why Andy liked him, because he has the arm talent that can cut through any element. Rain, snow, cold, sleet. It gets cold in Kansas City.
Yep.
And plus, they're going to have to go to Denver at some point in time. I'm saying not now. They've already played them. Mm-hmm. But it gets cold in Denver also.
Yep.
And Andy knew he needed a strong arm, powerful quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That elements will not come into play when they play them.
Yep. So the kid has been on a magic carpet
ride. It ain't no magic carpet ride.
It's been a magic carpet ride. Everything that could go right went right for this kid, except Tom Brady got him in New England. But what happened with 6:18 left in overtime yesterday? If we could see the final break play that this kid got, he rolls to his left and he just loses the football. And it's on the ground. And I'm saying, just fall on it.
No.
You got this.
No.
You remember this play?
I remember it. Yeah.
I'm not sure we have this play.
I don't think we got it. Good.
Oh, we don't have this play. But
good.
It's a fun. The ball's just sitting. And my man, T. Sizzle. Terrell Suggs. There we go. No, that's another wild play. But that's a good interception.
Hey, we're trying.
Oh, here we go. Up, I lost the football. Suggs, what are you doing?
He tried to follow and he couldn't. Look at this.
Oh, that was a good throw. I love that. Yeah. You're going to see some of that against the Chargers.
He dug it. Listen. He has a lot of Brett Favre in him.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is with Brett is that he made a lot of plays like that.
Mm-hmm.
But every team that I've ever played for that played against Brett Favre, he's going to make his plays. But he's going to give us an opportunity to make ours.
Yeah.
Just like he's going to make his, when the opportunity presents itself, you make sure we make ours.
I would agree. And just like Favre, I know when the Cowboys used to play him, they would always say, he'll throw you three, but you have to be ready to catch him, because they're going to come at 105 miles an hour.
That is correct.
That's the problem. If he's going to no-look throw 102 over here, you better be ready to get your hands on it, right?
But would you say my guy's in the Catbird season?
No, I would not.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Skip! He's 12 touchdowns clear.
I told you, Tua wasn't in the Catbird season,
now,
and neither is this
And
kid.
Now, guess what? Andrew Luck has passed Drew Brees for touchdowns.
Really?
Yeah!
My team has to go deal with Andrew Luck next Sunday.
No, he comes to y'all, right?
No, it's up there.
Oh, Andrew. Oh, yeah.
You got this?
Oh, yeah.
You want another Andrew. Case on that one?
When they play?
This coming Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Andrew. Look, Andrew got this.
Really?
Andrew got this.
Well, you're now seven more cases down, so you're down 17 cases.
I've lost control.
Do you want one back?
Skip, why you keep giving me one? I'll never get them back.
No mercy.
It's time for our final topic of the day here on Undisputed. Baker Mayfield had one of the best throws of his young career yesterday when he found Jarvis Landry for a 51-yard touchdown over two defenders. And Baker and the Browns got their fifth W of the season. So, Shannon, how impressed were you with that throw?
It was a great throw. Skip, I think I might have underestimated his arm strength. For him to make that throw yesterday was unbelievable. And for him to bounce back in the fashion in which he bounced back yesterday, coming off of last week where he threw three interceptions, he was clean this week. And he only got sacked once. He's only gotten sacked once in the last month, considering how many times he got sacked to start his career. So I was very impressive. I was very impressed with the throw, but I was very impressed with the poise at which he showed yesterday, mm-hmm. bouncing back from that performance that he had the week before.
So he doesn't have Patrick Mahomes' arm, but he's got a good one.
Plenty good.
And he's got an underestimated arm. I thought he did when I watched him at Oklahoma, mm-hmm. which is why he won the Heisman, and then somebody else won it on Saturday night.
I just had
to bring that up because they got back-to-back, but that's who knows. So Baker Mayfield now has this team at exactly Aaron Rodgers' record in Green Bay. They're both 5-7-1. Would you believe that? And would you believe I give the Browns a shot to win at Denver on Saturday night and then beat the Bengals, who they already beat at Cincinnati, and then they already beat the Ravens at home, but they have to finish at the Ravens. Wouldn't it be something if Baker Mayfield got them to 8-7-1? Would that not be?
You want
to
put some dude there? Don't get 8-7-1.
No, I do not. But I told you before the year, if he had started from the start, I would have given him 9 wins, and I stand by that. They would have won 9 games. Yes.
Well, I mean, he played well. Why you just can't take a compliment? I gave the man a compliment about his arm strength and
lightning rod.
And then you mess it up.
Lightning
They're not
rod.
Beating Denver in Denver.
He is dangerous.
Von Miller.
Dangerous.
Rock. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.